Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on This Needs to Be Said. It has been a while since we've talked with our friend, Attorney Peter Daigle, and he's had a new addition since the last time I got to talk with him. I think we might have mentioned the grandbaby one other time, but welcome back, Peter. How are you doing? Tell me about the grandbaby. I'm all about the grandbaby.
Everybody likes to hear about babies, right, Catherine? Yeah, of course.
Yes.
You know, as we've talked in the past, a new baby just brings such beautiful energy into the family, you know, and that it's like a sunny day where, you know, if it's been not so good for a few days, all of a sudden you see the baby and it's like, oh, life is good, you know, because they're so beautiful and they have, they're so innocent and they don't carry any of the baggage that, you know, the adults have with all the little problems or things in life. And so it just brightens everybody's day, and it also gives to me hope for the world that, you know, the world is going to be okay, you know, because we're bringing, you know, good children into the world, you know. So, yeah, thank you for asking.
Awesome. Congratulations on that addition.
No, thank you. Anyway. Thank you.
Well, we are talking with you. You're our attorney that talks about bankruptcy, and one of the things I've noticed over the years that you're very concerned about. You're compassionate. That's the word I'm looking for. You're very compassionate towards the people that you help. And so it's always interesting because when we began talking, bankruptcy was a bad word. Bad B word.
Right.
Don't say that word, right? So getting people comfortable with being able to reset their lives is what I've found to be a theme in what you've shared with me. And to get more people into the conversation of this is not bad and it's not just for a certain group of people or a certain kind of people. So today I want to hear from you and let's kind of let's begin helping people see how varied, you know, this is. And we may not be able to get to the broad part of it today for sure, but in general there are different kinds of people, whether they are male, female, old, young, a student, whatever. There are different categories. So I just want to know for you, what's the latest category of people you've helped, and what do they face when they come to you?
Okay. I'm going to give you an example of someone that I just helped recently, and this person sort of fits into a lot of different situations that that come into her life and everybody's life. So this woman was in her early 70s, and she had just lost her spouse recently, and so was relying on both of the incomes to provide, you know, somewhat comfortable lifestyle. And so, you know, without her her husband's income, she was trying to juggle the household bills and pay her debt. They had, had some health issues the last few years, both of them, and as a result of that, weren't able to work as much as they had liked to. And so they had to rely on some of their credit cards to supplement their income as well as both jobs. And now the woman did not have the income from the spouse yet. She was saddled with the debt. This created a lot of anxiety for her because at her age and her skill level and training, she had sort of reached the end of her economic life by being able to get out in the workplace to work a full-time job and was going to have to rely on Social Security and a small pension to be able to get her by. Up until, you know, the passing her husband, they were able to make the payments on the credit cards and get by. But now without that income, it became impossible for her to maintain a minimum standard of life. A lot of folks in this age group, which is, you know, late 60s, 70s, and up into the 80s, aren't able to continue with the career in which they had during their lifetime, whether it be a nurse or a teacher or, you know, whatever they did. A lot of times they do, you know, jobs like work part-time at Walmart or the grocery store or they help out. And But in this woman's situation, she couldn't stand on her feet for a long period of time. So, you know, the jobs like it, working as a cashier or a bagger or a greeter, things at the grocery store offer, she wasn't able to do. So she was only able to stand for a certain period of time. And so she was limited on the job opportunities that she had. So she came to me with a lot of fear and anxiety what the future was going to bring, because she had all this credit card debt that she had had acquired with her from a husband, and yet she really wasn't able to take advantage of the workplace like she would have been able to had she been younger and healthier. Okay. So
right.
This loss or diminishing income of the senior citizens is a very real thing. And it's very difficult to live on just Social Security alone, especially if you have any kind of debt at all. And so, we talked about some of her options that she had, and also some information I wanted to give her in which she would be able to use to, you know, not be so fearful, because she would, you know, she would know what would be around the corner, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, I can only do so much, of being able to allay the fears of the elderly, and specifically this woman, because I can only solve certain portions of the problem, and that is just the debt. Okay, I can't,
right.
You know, we can't create income for her. We can't fix her health. And so what we try to do
right.
is just focus on one small area by giving her information as to what to do. So, the first thing that I did with her and did everybody is I sort of just sized up the overall picture. What is your income? What are your expenses? What do you have for debt? And, and what is your information on how you can earn income going forward? So by taking a big picture look, I have some idea of some solutions for the debt. Generally speaking, with anybody with debt, the options are, one would be a bankruptcy. Two would be to try to settle the debt, if possible. Or three is just to do nothing, okay, and try to block the advances of creditors, should they become aggressive. So when you make below a certain amount of money, and that amount is determined on a state level, you're protected from the actions of creditors because you don't meet the minimum standing of living. Okay, and so as a practical matter, there's not a whole lot that they can do. To you, if you just have a car, you're living in subsidized housing, and you're living on Social Security and a small pension, and so that your income is just meager. The creditors don't have a lot of options, and so we discussed that as an option, as being able to just sort of just segregate this problem from your life. And allow them being the creditors just to kind of spin out of control eventually and go away, okay? Now, that's easier said than done because this debt, it can cause anxiety, okay? And the fact that it's out there and it's owed. And so we talk about the anxiety level and whether or not that is an option. It's an option for some. Because they can say, listen, I've been through worse. I've survived cancer. I've survived my spouse passing away. I've survived the loss of a child, whatever. I can deal with it. Okay? And so if they say to me, you know what, I'm just going to not pay them, and I'm going to let them do whatever they're going to do, and I'm going to stop answering the phone, I'm going to block the calls, and then I'm going to just let it go, okay? So that's an option for them, okay? And I would take their temperature, so to speak, as to whether or not this is something that they would be able to do. One of the options that are sort of similar to that is for us to field the calls from the creditors In most states, it's against the law to call an individual for the purposes of collecting a debt if they're represented by an attorney. So one of the options that you can discuss with your attorney is whether or not you will just field the calls from the creditors and let the creditors know that we're looking at options and we'll get back to them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that way there, it takes the constant phoning from the creditors off the individual, okay? And
okay.
You know, and then we would revisit it in 6 months to say, hey, how are things going? You know, do you want to – is anything changed in your life, okay, to be able to either start paying it again, file bankruptcy or whatever. And so we just do regular check-ins then based upon the fact that we're helping this person out. So that's option number one. And that's what they call that kind of almost like the do-nothing approach in terms of taking any actual action towards getting rid of the debt. Now, if for some reason that is not a good option because of the anxiety level of the individual, and this woman, she just couldn't take it. She just could not bear, you know, having these calls, these constant calls, at dinner time and breakfast and lunch all day long. And so we talked about the bankruptcy route for her, but that first option is clearly available to anybody in the situation that this woman was in. Okay. So looking at that,
that's the
bankruptcy option, the do-nothing approach, basically just let them, go away. At some point, they will go away. Maybe change your phone number, give them to an attorney to manage, but basically just let it just sit and ignore them, okay?
Wait them out.
Of course, your credit will take a tremendous hit by doing that, but you may be at a point in life where you don't really need credit. You're in subsidized housing, you have your own home, it's paid for. You're not in need of a car. Your car gets you around, you take public transportation, so you don't need your credit to be built, and you can kind of get by with what you have, and you don't want to go into the expense of doing a bankruptcy if that was, as an option. So this sort of, we'll call it the do-nothing approach, or do-very-little approach, we'll call it, instead of nothing, do-very-little.
Okay,
So again, going to the second option, in our office, we have reduced rates for individuals that are in the situation that I just described, in which the first thing we ask him is, are you making payments to creditors at all? And if they're saying, well, I'm making a payment of $100 a month or $200 a month or whatever, and they say, well, I can pay that, but it's not sustainable, then what we would do is we would say, okay, we're going to work a fee out for you based upon what you can afford to pay us monthly, okay? So if you say, well, the best that I can do is $100 a month because that's all I was paying the minimum payments, and I can pay that for a period of time, we'll work with that number of the $100 a month or whatever the number is, okay? So in terms of getting the bankruptcy done, we set a goal 6 months, a year, 18 months out by doing the bankruptcy, and we would work out a payment plan in which the individual, in this case, we worked out $100 a month with her for a year of being able to make the payments of $100 a month, and then we had to charge her for the filing fee on top of that. But that was an instance of someone that we gave a hand to that was really impoverished. So we would set up a nominal amount of money each month. We don't like to go longer than a year. And during that year, we'll field the phone calls from the creditors. The second option would be to file the bankruptcy and try to work off of try to get an attorney to do a reduced fee in order to get that done and start making the payments on a monthly basis to be able to pay it, and then have the attorney handle the creditor calls. Okay. So that would
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question of that one real quick?
Yeah, please.
So the scenario here is a senior citizen in her 70s, and let me make sure I'm saying it right, because I was writing notes. You said you do the reduced rate amount for a year, and you're fielding the calls. So this is after the do very little approach. So what does this do for that person for 12 months?
Well, it's sort of a modification of the do nothing, meaning that if they need a better plan than to do nothing, then this would be an alternative. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
if they
mm-hmm.
say to me, I cannot stomach not dealing with this. I can't have these constant calls. I just can't
mm-hmm.
do it. Then we would say, then let's look at a bankruptcy option for you as an alternative, but you'll have to
okay.
pay something each month towards the fee. So it's
mm-hmm.
not doing nothing and doing little. It's actually paying the attorney a fee and putting
mm-hmm.
the money aside to be able to file the bankruptcy in a year. Okay? However long the dream would be. Okay?
All right. Well, that
so,
makes
so
that, now I'm like, okay,
file,
yeah.
So in a year, we'd be able to file the bankruptcy because the reduced fee had been paid, and then all we would need at that point is just the filing fee for the court, okay? So we'd
mm-hmm.
have to collect whatever that filing fee is at that time, okay? And so that
gotcha.
Would be the bankruptcy option. But that would be not like, oh, I don't have, you know, $1,200 or $1,500 or whatever the amount is. I just don't have that kind of
mm-hmm.
money. But yet they can pay something each month, you know, towards it, and that we would accept that as a payment, you know, working towards that goal. So that's probably the most popular option that
now
we
that,
have is that approach. Okay.
Wow.
Because then it goes
well,
away.
Of course I don't know it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sitting over going, wow, but of course I don't know this stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, but again, it has an ending, and the ending is the creditors will be discharged. If you take the first
mm-hmm.
approach, which is do nothing and do little, it doesn't really have an ending. It kind of just like fades out, okay? And
mm-hmm.
you know, as it fades out, the calls become less, and then the letters become less, and then, but the bankruptcy sort of puts an ending to it because, you know, the creditors
yeah.
would be basically completely wiped out once the bankruptcy was filing, and it also has a goal in mind. So the goal
mm-hmm.
would be that, look, we're going to file this thing in a year, but you got to make payments to me, you know, during the meantime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be
mm-hmm.
The second option that we would have, okay?
Okay.
The third option that we offer to senior citizens, and again, this woman did not, she accepted option number two, which is the pay something each month towards the bankruptcy, is we also
mm-hmm.
have a debt settlement option in which we offer the creditors something. And
mm-hmm.
It's usually a nominal amount, somewhere less than 50% of what they owe. We would offer somewhere around 10 or 20% of what's
mm-hmm.
owed, okay? And so
okay.
we would, you know, we would reach out to them and say, hey, listen, we have a little bit of money here as the money built up in our account. And so, you know, the person would fund our account, let's say, just for conversation's sake, $200 a month. And then
mm-hmm.
we would let that money build up in our account. And then when it built up, we would contact the creditors and say, hey, listen, we've got a little bit of money here. Would you take it to settle? And that's what we would try to do. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
we and they would take that option if they really did not want to file bankruptcy, or if they didn't qualify. If there was a qualification in their background
mm-hmm.
that prevented them from filing, and they wanted to do something, not do nothing or do very little, they could enter into an agreement with us to pay a little bit of money each month. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's called debt settlement. You know, those are really the only three options that are available for a senior citizen under
mm-hmm.
the scenario that I told you earlier. And
mm-hmm.
of the three options, the most popular one is the bankruptcy. I would say that would handle 3/4 of the folks because they just want
mm-hmm.
to put an end to it. And
right.
the other two options would be split up between those that just, you know, can't afford to do anything, or they have a little bit of extra money that they would prefer to settle the debt, for, you know, for whatever their reason was,
mm-hmm.
personal reason. Okay. So what that does is at the beginning of the consultation, it sort of gives some options that and some information that would, you know, will allay some of the fears that they bring into the call. And so, you know, by giving them those three options, they are then empowered to make a decision. And, you know, they would ask specific questions about each of the options over the phone call, or we could follow up on the second call if it was something they wanted to absorb. So
mm-hmm.
Again, the idea is to conclude the consultation with a plan, okay? And not, you know, not to have a plan. And so in this specific case, the woman who had lost her husband and was struggling to work a part-time job because of her inability to stand decided that the bankruptcy was the best option for her because she did not want to deal with the calls going forward, and she didn't have enough money to fund the death settlement. So that was this one individual. But I've described to you a class of individuals who have common problems, okay? Again, health problems, loss of a spouse, loss of a job, inability to find a job, considering with COVID out there also, which is a real possibility.
On top of everything.
Yeah, they don't want to go back into the workplace because they're afraid of being in public. So, you know, for whatever the life circumstances that is interfering with their ability to maintain a healthy financial lifestyle, we would look at whatever that is and try to tailor a solution based upon the three options that I've described to you. So,
And I know that you said this word like maybe 100 times, and it's, I got it, options, because that's what people need. And I love that. I was like, yes, there's options. Because when you talk to me, I'm hearing what you tell me, of course. I don't know what you know. But the fact that a person has options, and then when you brought up, you know, this person reflected and said, I've been through losing a spouse. You know, I've survived cancer. Lay it on me. What, you know, what, because when they come to you, they don't know if they have another option. They think, well, I don't even know what to do. I'm stuck. So getting unstuck, knowing that, you could do very little. You could do a reduced rate as a senior citizen, or you could do, you know, all-out bankruptcy if you have the money up front. But being able to really evaluate, because people don't think about that. I wouldn't even sit and think about that. What do I have and what am I trying to do? Because I'm stuck right now. I'm not thinking about, do I need another car? Am I working on my credit? Until you talk to me, I'm not a senior citizen, of course, but I'm thinking, do I need another car? You know, and other people, I'm sure, you know, would be thinking the same thing as they're listening. I'm not a senior citizen, but those are great questions. What do I need? What do I have right now? Or what do I need right now that I don't have? And I'm stuck, and I need to get these phone calls to stop. What do I do? And I think I'm really feeling number two like the lady did, because I feel like I am doing something, even if I don't have a lot of money right now, but I could pay on it. And you guys take the calls.
Right.
And then in a year, we can make it stop.
The bankruptcy. Yeah, the bankruptcy would be filed at the end of 2 years, and then the credit would get rebuilt. So in other words, you really just, you know, waiting a year to do it, and yet the attorneys would feel the calls. So it's a viable option, and you're right about being able to need a car. I mean, if you're in your 70s, you know, your chances are you might need at least one more car. You know, if you're in your 80s, well, maybe you can get by with your last one. And, you know, maybe you have a child that will co-sign a loan for you or help you out, or maybe a public transportation. So we have to look at each circumstance and see, you know, whether or not it's reasonable or not. But most people who get to that stage in life are not comfortable with the fact is their credit is going to be bruised. And so by doing the bankruptcy option, there is life to rebuild your credit after the bankruptcy because – the bankruptcy will clear the credit report. If you don't do anything or do very little, it's not going to help your credit score. And so you're going to resign yourself to the fact that your credit is not going to be good. And for a lot of people at a certain age who fought to maintain good credit, that is just unacceptable. So you know, that's one thing that we talk quite a bit about credit and how it's affected throughout the process.
I love it. I love it. I want to say thank you so much for sharing this information with the This Needs to Be Said audience. Thank you for your work that you do in the world. Thank you for making bankruptcy a good word because it's good to be able to reset yourself. I'm a gamer, so I used to restart the game when I was about to lose. So as time has gone, I've been playing for over 40 years. So think about Atari. So you hit the little button and you reset it, right? So that's what I think about when I talk with you. You get to hit the button and reset it and get you some extra men or get you some extra life.
Exactly.
So this is awesome. And for the audience, if you have to make this decision, what better way to make this decision than with an attorney who cares about your outcome? And he's very honest about what he can do for you and what he can't do for you. I like that you said we can't get you more money and we can't fix your health, but this is what we can do. And that's what people, they do want to know. They don't know what the answer is. They say, hey, you know, and then we say, tell me the answer, and we don't want you to tell me. Tell me two answers so I can choose one. And you gave us three options. Peter, I know that this is a general statement or a general conversation for someone who fits this profile, a senior citizen. And I thank you for doing that. And I hope that you'll come back again and we'll talk about another scenario, because what I do believe, not that I know, but I believe that everyone could be one of your clients. And I mean, in, you know, like every category could be someone that comes to you, and they need to hear that it's okay to do that. It's okay right. for me to reset my life, you know? So thank you, and I hope you do come back and share some more with us.
Catherine,
but before we go,
thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Before we go, though, let people know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. You can go to my website, daigellawoffice.com. And I have quite a bit of information on my website. You can also order a free copy of my book on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Or also, I'd love to talk to you if any of the scenarios that I discussed today are something that may be for you. And you can reach me at 508-771-7444, and we can schedule a consultation.
Awesome. Until next time, Peter, have a wonderful day.
Okay, Catherine. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.